And here we go.
Welcome to the Great Work Insights Podcast by the OC Tanner Institute, the show that features the people, the professionals, the thought leaders, and the coolest companies. And now your host, the man navigating the discussion about the culture, the organized chaos, and the best practices that compel great work, Todd Nordstrom.
I am proud of something that I actually don't believe I have the right to take credit for, because maybe it's just the way I was made. What am I proud of? Well, I'm proud of the fact that I do not have road rage. I really, honestly, don't. What I'm not so proud of, however, is that I do experience, let's call it a different kind of rage that can fire me up like nobody's business. My wife calls this kind of rage my parking lot rage. I can be having a perfectly good day until I get stuck behind a car who is waiting for a parking spot near the front of a door somewhere, and there's a wide open space just three cars away. Or I can almost feel steam coming out of my ears when I turn into a parking spot and a shopping cart is blocking the space, even though the cart corral is like 10 or 12 feet away. Yeah, it makes my blood boil to think someone was too lazy to walk 12 feet to return a cart. We all have these little things in our life that somehow reach into our gut and yank on that nerve that makes us absolutely crazy. They make us behave in an uncharacteristic manner, sometimes even to the point where we don't really recognize ourselves. But we also each have these buttons that can push us in an emotional direction in a positive light, right? I might get a text from one of my kids during the day that makes me smile or laugh. Instantly, my mood might be uplifted. Either or, negative or positive, I've been distracted. There's no question that we all face a common hurdle in life. You can call it whatever you want, distractions, interactions, disturbances, or whatever. It's stimuli, both positive and negative, that impacts us because we react to it. We're human. You react to things that wouldn't even faze me, and I react to things that you may not even notice. I'm thrilled to have our guest today, who calls the stimuli I'm speaking of triggers. Dr. Marshall Goldsmith was recognized as the number one leadership thinker in the world and a top five management thinker in 2015, as well as one of the top 10 most influential business thinkers in the world. Dr. Goldsmith is the author or editor of 35 books, which have sold over 2 million copies, been translated into 30 languages, and become bestsellers in 12 countries. He has written 2 New York Times bestsellers, Mojo, which you're probably familiar with, and What Got You Here Won't Get You There. Dr. Goldsmith, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's an honor to have you. I want to talk about the focus of your latest book titled Triggers, Creating Behavior That Lasts, Becoming the Person You Want to Be. That title alone is something we can all relate to. I find this concept of triggers fascinating because in a way it seems like something we can't really help. And then when I was talking about taking credit, I'm thinking, well, can I take credit or can I not take credit? Is this how we're just built? Tell the audience about your definition of what a trigger is.
Well, a trigger is any stimulus that might impact my behavior. So as we journey through life, my basic theory is, we all have this beautiful view of the person we want to become. Mm-hmm. And this person, like you said, is a good person, doesn't get angry, doesn't act like a fool, is in perfect physical condition, has a healthy diet, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. We all have a vision of who this person is, yet as we journey through life, we seldom become this person. Why? As we go through life, as you said, we're bombarded by triggers. Any stimulus that may impact our behavior, and sometimes these triggers throw us off in a positive direction. More often than not, though, they take us off course. They become distractions, and they take us away from becoming the person that we want to be.
It's interesting because when you talk about, you know, the perfect health and the perfect diet, a lot of the triggers that the listeners might be thinking of right now are things like getting stuck in traffic or getting stuck by at a railroad crossing or something like that. But these triggers are, you're talking about things that could have lifelong impact, correct?
Of course, and there are all kinds of little things, advertisements, smell. All kinds of things can throw us in different directions.
How do these, when we're talking about work and wanting to, you know, envision that person we want to come, especially when it comes to work, how do triggers impact our ability to perform or achieve goals?
Well, you know, what I would say is it's very important as we go through our day, and you mentioned the term distraction, to keep in focus. And one of the things that I really try to help people do is maintain a sense of focus and maintain a sense of clarity and direction as to why am I doing, what am I doing, so we don't just get lost. We all have something called a monkey mind. The monkey mind is like that monkey swinging from vine to vine throughout the jungle. And our monkey mind, the internet provides amphetamines for the monkey mind. For example, have you ever gone online and said, I'm going to look something up, it'll take 3 or 4 minutes?
Yeah.
And three or four hours later, you're still online. You don't even know what you went online for. Well, that's the monkey mind. What happens is those little URLs, those little clicks, set you off in direction after direction after direction, and they've pretty much been designed to set you off that way. You know, the jaw-dropping, beautiful teenage cheerleaders or something that they put these ads on, you know.
Yeah.
They just distract people. And then pretty soon you're gone. You're gone. You've been distracted. You've been taken off of what you wanted to do. And then you've pretty much forgotten what your goal for the day was.
That's
in business, the same thing happens. Somebody just walks by and says, well, let's talk for a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Day's over.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking about the internet specifically, and I would assume that we have more triggers than ever before. In fact, I just read some research not too long ago that showed every single minute email users send 204 million messages. Google receives over 4 million search queries. Facebook users share 2,460,000 pieces of content. Is it getting harder and harder for us to get to the right vine, as you say, that monkey mind?
Oh, yeah. I wrote an article about 20 years ago and made a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was right, and I wish I'd been wrong. My prediction was within 20 years, media addiction will far surpass drug addiction and alcohol addiction combined as a social problem.
Wow.
We're already there. The average kid that's slinking out of school in America today spends 55 hours a week on non-academic media. 55 hours a week. That's a disease. I teach at Dartmouth Tuck School. A young man drives me back and forth. He's probably as smart as I am. He flunked out of college. He spent 25,000 hours of his life playing a video game called World of Warcraft.
Oh, wow.
I was in China 2 weeks ago. In China, over 100 million people have been diagnosed with some form of media addiction. So, you know, this is a huge, huge social problem around the world.
Wow. That can blow your mind just to think about. I have yet to read the book Triggers, but I know you offer a prescription on how to deal with triggers, whether they be internet or other types of distraction, because there is so much more noise in our world. What can you give us some of the prescription? What do you tell people?
Well, let me give you one thing that all of your listeners can use immediately. I'm going to teach you something right now that takes 2 minutes a day, that costs absolutely nothing. It's going to help people get better at almost anything. Well, people are probably listening thinking, yeah, sure, 2 minutes a day, costs nothing, help me get better at almost anything. That sounds too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
Half the people that start doing this quit within 2 weeks. And they don't quit because it does not work. They quit because it does work. What I'm going to teach your listeners next is something that's very easy to understand and very hard to do. It's called the daily question process. And the way it works is get out an Excel spreadsheet. On one column, write down a series of questions that represent what's most important in your life, friends, family, business, health, whatever it is.
So an example of a question would be like what? If I were to do it about my family, for example, what would a question be?
Well, one of my questions would be, how many times yesterday did you try to prove you were right when it wasn't worth it?
Yeah. Okay.
See, I'm an old professor. Mm-hmm. Kind of hard for me not to be right all the time.
Interesting.
I almost never scored a zero my whole life.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how many angry or destructive comments did you make about people yesterday? Did you say or do something nice for your wife? Say or do something nice for your son, your daughter, your son-in-law, your grandchildren? Just basic questions about life. And every question has to be answered with a yes, a no, or a number. Seven boxes across on an Excel spreadsheet, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day you fill out that little questionnaire. At the end of the week, the Excel spreadsheet will give you a report card. I will warn your listeners in advance, that report card at the end of the week may not be quite as beautiful as that corporate values plaque that got stuck up on the wall. Because when you do this every day, you know what you quickly learn? Life is real easy to talk.
Yeah.
Life is real hard to live.
Yeah, you're not that beautiful person you imagined yourself becoming. That's interesting.
Yeah, I pay a woman named Kate to call me up on the phone every day. Every day she listens to me read these questions I wrote and provide answers I wrote every day. Somebody said, why do you pay some woman to call you on the phone every day just to listen to you read questions you wrote and provide answers you wrote? Don't you know the theory about how to change behavior? I wrote the theory about how to change behavior. That's why I pay a woman to call me every day. I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
Why do I do this? My name is Marshall Goldsmith. I'm the world's number one executive coach. I pay a woman to call me on the phone every day just to listen to me read questions that I wrote and provide answers I wrote every day. Why do I do this? I am way too cowardly to do this on my own and way too undisciplined. I need help.
This would be a good thing for all listeners to say. This is a good activity for a buddy system, correct? Hold each other accountable.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah. Get somebody to hold you accountable, because you know what? If you don't, let me tell you, things in life that are easy not to do, this is way up on the list. This is way easy to avoid. It's tough to look in that mirror every day. My friend Jim Moore that does this will tell you it saved his life. It didn't kind of save his life, it sort of saved his life. It did save his life. Was one of his questions every day. Are you currently updated on your physical exam? Well, the first 90 days he did this, he said no every day. After 90 days, he said, this is embarrassing. I got to get the dumb exam and quit asking the question. I got the dumb exam. So the doctor said, you have cancer. Well, that was years ago. He's going to be fine. The doctor also said, had you waited 7 more months, you would have been dead. Hmm. Now, he knew he should have got a physical exam. He just didn't do it. Well, you hold a mirror in front of your face every day. You know what? It's hard to hide. It starts becoming painfully obvious. Who am I kidding here?
I love that. I love that. And you say a lot of people don't take this past, 2 weeks? And it's because why? Because they like going
painful.
Back to, yeah, not being accountable.
It's painful because you have to face the reality of your own life every day. Hmm. Let's take you. Say one of yours, you mentioned anger. How many angry or destructive comments did you make today? Well, day after day, you got to write that down.
Yeah.
Or, you know, how many times did you stab somebody in the back? Well, we all want to be good human beings, so why do we stab people in the back all the time? Or how many minutes did I waste on non-productive activities, you know, watching TV, the internet, all that kind of stuff? Well, you know, when you measure it, it's tough because you got to look at it day after day. It works. You'll get better. It's not easy, though. There's a big difference between simple and easy.
I have a question that may seem strange. A lot of listeners to this show, they're HR professionals, they're corporate leaders or managers, or they may be in charge of training and development within a company. Of course, all the listeners can personally learn what you just prescribed. Is there advice you give to managers, to bosses, to the workplace, people who are responsible for influencing others? Is there something that I can do if I'm a manager and I can help somebody hold themselves accountable?
Well, you know, I would start with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I'm the most famous executive coach. That's what I do for a living. I coach executives. And, you know, I'd start with yourself. And the people I coach, these are like, I've coached the CEO of Ford and Pfizer and Glaxo and the World Bank and the Mayo Clinic, all kinds of people. What do I teach people? You ask for feedback from everyone around you. They get confidential feedback. They pick important behavior to improve. Then they publicly, one-on-one, talk with each of their coworkers about what they learn, Here's what I feel good about. Here's what I want to get better. They apologize for the mistakes. They ask for input for the future, not feedback about the past. I teach them to listen in a non-defensive way, to thank people, to follow up on a regular basis and get measured. And in my coaching, I have a very unique approach to coaching. I don't get paid if they don't get better. Better is not judged by me or them. It's judged by everyone around them. So, you know, there's a way you can test if someone believes what they're saying. I'll give your listeners an interesting test to determine if someone believes what they're saying. One question, I've never seen it fail. Want to bet on it? And if they say they believe it, but they wouldn't bet on it, they don't believe it. If they say, here's the money, they believe it. So I bet on this every time.
I love it. So this would work as parents too, right? This is something we can teach our children.
You know what? Get in the habit of starting with yourself. Mm-hmm. Get in the habit of asking your children, what can I do to be a better parent? So I did this with my daughter Kelly when she was 11 and my son was 9. I said, what can I do to be a better dad? She said, Daddy, you travel all the time, but that's not what bothers me. What bothers me is the way you act when you come home. You talk on the phone and watch sports. You'll spend time with me. And she said, one time it was Saturday, I wanted to go to a party at my friend's house, and Mommy didn't let me go. I had to stay home and spend time with you. And then she said, you didn't spend any time with me. That was not right. So I said, Daddy's got to do better. I said, I would keep track of how many days I can spend at least 4 hours with my family. I started measuring every day. 1991, 92 days. 1992, 110. 1993, 131. 1994, 135. I made more money the year spent 135 days, 4 hours with my family than year spent 20 days. Now it's January 1, 1995. Both kids are teenagers. I said, kids, look at this chart. 135 days with Dad. What goal this year? How about 150? They both said, no, Daddy, you have overachieved. My son said 50 is a better target. They both voted for a massive cutback of Dad. Well, I learned a good lesson. When they're little, it's good to do this. Why? They need us. They get older, we need them.
That's a great story, and obviously something we all need to get in the habit of, because the world is creating more stimuli. Do you think the human species is prepared to deal with all of this extra stimuli? Can we adapt?
Well, that's the whole idea of the book Triggers, is there will be triggers. Mm-hmm. The trigger produces an impulse, like in your case you mentioned anger. Mm-hmm. Typically what happens is there is a trigger, there is an impulse, there is behavior. The goal of the book is there will be a trigger, but breathe, realize I have a choice, and make your behavior a function of that choice, not a function of the impulse. And to the degree in life we can do that, we're going to be much more aligned with the person that we want to be, as opposed to that person just being created by the world around us.
Great advice. Dr. Goldsmith, absolute honor having you as a guest. I'm a huge fan of your work. I'm looking forward to reading Triggers. If listeners want to learn more about Triggers, any of your books, or just more about you, where do I find you? What's the best place to look?
Well, I love getting emails, marshall@marshallgoldsmith.com. And my website is www.marshallgoldsmith.com, and Marshall has two L's. So always great to hear from people. Again, I give all my material away. People may copy, share, download, duplicate. I've got hundreds of videos on YouTube they can look at, use the articles any way they wish, and hopefully some of my material will help your listeners have a little bit better life.
I'm sure it will. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Would you like to be featured as a guest on Great Work Insights? If yes, we want to hear from you. Leave us a comment with who you are and what you're all about at www.octanner.com. Also, remember to rate, review, and subscribe to all our podcasts on iTunes. Now get out there and build something beautiful. It's your turn now.